Talked to you today with the Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Michael Kelsey. Michael, 2014, we're at the end of it right now, peering into over the fence to 2015. 2014, quite a year for the cattle industry from a variety of perspectives.
Yeah, it's been a very good year. From a marketing perspective or a price perspective, you know, we got midway through the year and thought, wow, prices are fantastic. We're probably at a threshold in terms of reality, and we just continue to climb. Prices just have been phenomenal. Whether you're talking feeder cattle or fed cattle or even replacement cattle, heifers and cows, boy, they're towards the latter two-thirds of the year replacement. Females were just skyrocketing. They've certainly softened a bit since then, but they're still very competitive in terms of price. I talked to one cattleman the other day, and he kind of chuckled and said, you know, I think they're bringing what they're worth, and I agree with him that those high prices are certainly justified. So that's been very positive. We've seen some good things in terms of the environment, or I should say the weather for Oklahoma this past year. Certainly western Oklahoma has continued to still be in a drought condition, not as severe as what we've seen, but nonetheless, it's softened a bit. We hope that the good Lord will continue to maybe ease that for us as we move forward. But 2014, in terms of hay price and forage availability, was much better than what we've seen in the past. So all in all, a good year. We did see quite a bit of an attack on our industry from the regulatory front, whether you consider WOTUS, the Waters of the U.S., or some of these different types of rules on proposed imports of beef from Brazil and Argentina. And then, of course, right here to the end, the tax extender language, which was priority one for us for the end of the year. Boy, that was a fingernail biter, if you will. Congress just waited and waited and waited until the last moment, right before they left, to extend that 2013 legislation, which was so important for us in that sense. So, boy, we were glad to get that. But all in all, 2014 has been a very, very good year.
I guess you might even call that a tax extender as far as the Section 179 thing, maybe the pickup bill or something.
That's right. That's a good way to put that. Pickup bill, equipment bill, whatever the case may be. And, you know, if you look at the cattle industry, prices were so good. And then thanks in most part to our good friend Mr. Lucas, the disaster assistance that came into play, well, that pushed many of our cattlemen into a position to where we really needed this language in order that we could keep that money at home, is what we would argue, in rural communities to finance new equipment, those types of things, maybe new cattle, etc. So, boy, it was a nail biter, and it's a pickup. I like that, the pickup bill there at the end of the year.
You know, you mentioned the Livestock Disaster Assistance Program. Of course, that came out of the 2014 farm law from earlier this year, February, I think, is when we actually finally got it passed. That particular part of the legislation, the disaster assistance, was made permanent through the efforts of Mr. Lucas. So it's going to be around. We're going to have that safety net, if you please, in the future. But the checks, for some of the numbers I've heard, are phenomenal.
They really are, and much deserved, because I've talked to many OCA members, especially as you move further west in the state. And they've talked about, you know, Michael, this I needed this in order to keep my family in the business. We were looking at different options that would not be business positive, either selling land or selling more cattle, more than they ever had or already had, excuse me, or anything like that. So this has been very, very positive to retire some debt that they had accumulated during those drought periods, to maybe even in some cases to repopulate, buy some of those replacement females and so forth. So I can't emphasize enough that how appreciative we are to Mr. Lucas and his leadership, as well as other Oklahoma delegation who helped, and especially on the House side. But this has been truly beneficial to Oklahoma in terms of rural farmers and ranchers, and something we're so appreciative that it is made permanent. Now, I would say this. This is the type of deal you really don't ever want to use, because if you're using it, then there's been a disaster. But with it in place, it gives us an opportunity to make some decisions and make some planning that we might not have been able to had we not had it.
Right. Let's look into 2015, if we could, for a few moments. A lot of challenges out there, but there's some opportunity, most certainly, to do some exciting things for the industry, including maybe rebuild these mama cow herds some more.
Yeah, we're seeing some fantastic momentum for rebuilding the cow herd, and I think that's important. And we need to do it in a responsible fashion as an industry. Let's not do it too quickly. Of course, the gestation cycle of the cow will prohibit some of that, but we're starting to see in Oklahoma some more heifers that are being retained, cows that are are being retained. And I would couple that, too. We're seeing in our industry, in our association, a kind of a momentum for younger folks to get involved. And that is very encouraging to see that. Our own Cattlemen's Leadership Academy is expanding and growing, and we're just seeing some folks. Now, they're not going to do it like Grandma and Grandpa did, you know, if you will, but they're still going to be involved in the beef industry, and that is truly positive. Will the market hold? Well, we certainly need to hold our export market. That's been truly fundamental for us for a long time, and it will be and continues to be so. I think, Ron, and from a negative perception, if I can go there for a minute, I think we really need to be prepared for the regulatory environment to really kick up. I think the administration has shown they're going to really issue some rules. They're going to try to do some things beyond Congress that are really we're going to have to really be watched. This past year, probably, I think at the last count, we were at 13 different federal rules that OCA made significant comments on individually. Now, there were many others that we signed on and partnered on. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if that number not only stays at that, but perhaps even goes up by 50% or so. Just that many proposed rules that we may see coming in this next year. So we're going to have to be very vigilant on that part. Glad to have a good partner at NCBA on the federal level as well. So we're going to have to watch that. But we're hoping it's going to be a positive year again.
Well, one other area, and I don't know if you saw some of the comments or the articles in regards to the endangered species issue. There's a kind of a lizard here in the state of Oklahoma that a young man, a teenager, actually has kind of joined with some environmental groups and said he thinks that we need to have endangered species status for this lizard. This is obviously something that could be very serious for a lot of landowners.
That's right. This is pretty new as well. You're right. It's just kind of popped up. And a lot of us have remembered the horned lizard, the horny toad, I used to call it, growing up in Rush Springs. And there's different species and so forth. Of different types of lizards, and we could even expand it beyond that, because certainly we've seen the sage grouse and the lesser prairie chicken and those types of things. The Endangered Species Act is, in our opinion, has gone way above and beyond what it was intended to, and we need to be very careful. I say we, the United States, needs to be very careful, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, on how they apply this. We would argue that in many times the way the ESA has been applied has actually been in a negative fashion, where landowners are tied and they can't do some things that in their situation could be done to improve the environment. Mm-hmm. The primary reason for that is one size does not fit all. If you're talking about one species from east to west in Oklahoma, never mind north to south, you can see some different applications or different managements that might help that particular species. So I was not encouraged to see that because I just don't like the federal government coming in. I think Oklahoma has exhibited the opportunities, when we're given the opportunities to work within the state, whether it be water quality, as we've seen, the Conservation Commission has done such great work, independent of EPA in the past for intermittent streams and so forth, or whether it's been wildlife populations, mm-hmm. we've been able to do a pretty good job ourselves. And so we'd like to think that we can continue to do that. Do we need to look at this species? Absolutely. We need to be aware of that. But I tell you what, every cattleman that I've ever talked to is proud of the fact that they've got wildlife on their operation, that they work to maintain that. They do things and go a little bit further around the barn, if you will, to make sure they maintain those wildlife populations and respect them. It's kind of a stewardship thing that we hold pretty important. So we're going to be watching that, and we're going to be emphasizing that to U.S. Fish and Wildlife and any other federal agency that may come in this particular instance.